You are currently the only person in this conference.
Thank you. Thank you. Hi, everybody, and welcome to Occupy's continuing conferences on electromagnetic radiation and microwave dangers. And we've been trying to get educated for the last 3+ years on the dangers of the wireless technology, and boy, are we being successful. It's all over the place, and we're so, so excited about the fact that maybe we're going to make a dent in people's understanding of this horrible functional impairment that is escalating in the population in the United States and all over the world. And also, I'm just so grateful today to have Joe Esposito as the guest, who is so knowledgeable and also has firsthand knowledge of what it feels like to be living in a country and a world that is alienated to these dangers, and really in a world that's killing us. So I just wanted to introduce him. So the agenda date today is 3/10/2016, and this is Joe's second week. Maybe we will have him 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 weeks, but we do have more and more people joining us who are new. And so Joe Esposito continues to educate us on smart meters, the statistics, and the law surrounding this issue. We will also discuss why people are ignoring this environmental pollution. Joe says, and this is a really profound statement, I think, and it's also very scary and also very simple. Someone standing beside you with a cell phone is literally killing you. Pretty profound statement. Joe has been involved with the legal system trying to initiate legislative changes for smart meter installations, their spying and other intrusion of privacy issues, as well as utility companies' illegal access to properties. So please join us, and we hope that you will enjoy this conference and actually maybe listen to it if you can't. Join us today. And Joe has visited the website that shows how many cell towers are currently up at www.antennasearch.com. And he is shocked about how much of the cell towers' electric pollution comes into people's homes. The land surrounding the cell towers is now worth 20% less because of this pollution. So why aren't the real estate agents disclosing this information? This is an environmental hazard, and people need to be protected. At least they need to know what hazards are possible when buying a house. So on the agenda notes, we have the link to Kill Zones USA, and we can go over that, but there are no laws that say you have to accept a smart utility meter to destroy your health, Joe says, which is true. We're going to go through this, and anyway, I don't know where to begin, but let's invite Joe on. Hi, Joe. How are you? You're unmuted. Welcome to our show again.
Oh, thank you very much.
How are you?
I really appreciate the opportunity to visit with your guests.
Okay.
People there.
Okay. Well, we're very happy to have you on. We're still expecting some more people on too. So can we go through some of the issues, the legal issues that you were talking about? Well, first of all, before we do that, tell us about the real estate, because that's something that people can actually really grasp. You know, the real estate values are going down. Tell us about that.
Well, I appreciate that. There's a little background to it. You know, when I started this 3 years ago, I didn't understand any of this like a lot of people, and so I've had to kind of learn as I go. I was fighting with the smart meter with a PSO here, AEP PSO in Oklahoma, and they weren't listening, and, you know, I got a permit to replace it, and I did all that. But what was interesting, when the meter was off, I still was getting astronomical radiation in our bedroom. And I didn't quite understand that the first day, because we'd taken, you know, the smart meter off. You know, the utility took my analog off, and then we took their smart meter off, and we were going to put an analog back on. We got permission from the city of Tulsa to do that. And we're doing that process, but I was stunned to find out that even with no meter on my house, the radiation levels were like 700 microwatts per meter squared. And I know people don't quite understand that, but my meter should read zero in the country if there's, you know, no radiation, and 700 is bad. According to the BioInitiative report, you know, cell damage is 3 to 4 microwatts, and Dr. Klinghardt will say 5 microwatts for a pregnant woman in a bedroom is the high, no more than 5. So to have 700, that was pretty bad. And so it took me a while to learn a few days that I was being affected by multi-source microwave radiation, which was a cell tower 6/10 of a mile to my south in a hospital, which is 900 feet or so to my south. And so people don't understand that this is microwave radiation. And so what it does is, if there's a strong source, like from a cell tower or a communications antenna, that's coming right into your home. Depending on the material that's on the outside of your house, you know, most houses are just, you know, 2x4s and sheetrock, and maybe there's bricks, and that would be a better thing than no bricks. And so, you know, it's people don't understand that. And so, you know, I've been dealing with this. So when I learned how bad it was, I had done a little research previous, and aluminum screen wire will block. It's a military-grade window screen wire, you know, metal, will block the radiation. And so what I had to do was nail to the south side of my home and my roof a metal aluminum screen wire. And it's still there today, all these, you know, years now since I started. And it's what's stopping it. It's like this sea of radiation's coming at my family. And the only thing I've been able to do is put this up and stop it. And, you know, that's what we did. And we got it down to 10 microwatts. And then, you know, we bought the canopies, and we got it down to 0.1 microwatt now where our bed is. There's different websites that have the black carbonized paint you can paint on walls inside and out, and then you put a nicer paint, you know, over that, but you have to ground that paint, the black. And so as I was learning all this, I started thinking about, well, what about the Oklahoma Real Estate Commission here in Oklahoma? Shouldn't we be disclosing this as an environmental pollutant, electro pollution? We're just being fried by wireless. And if you don't have a meter, most people don't even know it's out there. The sad thing is. And so I called here in Oklahoma. There's a Oklahoma Real Estate Commission, and Charlotte Lavosky, a very nice person. She just took over the last, I don't know, year or so from another lady that had been, you know, 30, 40 years. And I called her one day because I had 4 other people that had to move out of their houses, and I'm one of them. And so I just asked her, I said, you know, do you think we have to disclose the high amounts of electro pollution, this radiation coming into our homes, because it's an environmental hazard? And she kind of, you know, was a little taken back with that. And she says, well, you know, I don't think anybody's ever asked us that question. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. And so we talked some more, and I sent her some documents. And then I said, well, you know, it's never too, I said, you know, I mean, shouldn't we disclose and these homeowners so they don't get sued or something when people find out that there's this astronomically high radiation? Because there's some houses that are much, much worse than other houses. And the only way you can tell that, you know, is if you have a meter to read it. and she said, well, we have this board and right now, and they're looking through all the disclosure things we're putting in new this year. And it's coming out in November, so this was like September, October or so. And I said, well, it's never too late to start. And she said, yeah, that's true. So since that time, we went to see her in her office. It's on the second story. You know, we've been visiting the Oklahoma Corporation Commission for the last 3 years trying to get this stop, you know, smart meters, and stop the utilities from doing what they're doing and get the Corporation Commission to do their job and protect us. And, you know, so far none of that's happened. But so we were there for a meeting, and so we went across the street. I had another friend went with me, and we took our meter, and we were invited into her office, and we visited a little while, and we explained the meter, how it works. And so we were on the second story facing north is her office, and it's all windows, her conference room there. And the radiation was astronomically bad. There's about two cell towers for sure to the northwest of about, you know, two or three blocks away. And then there's about, oh, I don't know, 10 to 14 TV towers north of all that. As you drive into Oklahoma City, there's like, you know, this whole field of them. And so I think she was quite stunned with all that. Well, since that time, I haven't been able to communicate with her. And I told her I was going to do a newspaper article coming up, and I just needed to know what she was, you know, if she's doing anything, or, you know, what she was, what her thoughts were on all this, and she just would never respond. And I've published, let's see, 99 articles in the Banner newspapers, Adair, Oklahoma. You can pull that up online, and then you can click on the above the title, and you can load the paper, and you can actually read it. And I'm always on page four. It's called We're Being Cooked. And then there's usually two papers. There's that one that day and last week's behind, you know, behind it, below it. And so I brought some newspapers the last couple times, and I still can't get a response. And so I published, you know, about her. And I asked, I said, well, shouldn't the Oklahoma, you know, Real Estate Commission have this in their disclosures? And I've, you know, I work with several people that are trying to get out of the Tulsa area to get out where the radiation is less, much less. And so I've worked with realtors, and they understand this, and they're very concerned. And they think that's wise to have some kind of disclosure, because, I mean, the house I live in, I've got, 12, 15 YouTubes up now, and it's a four-part YouTube. You could watch what you can see the wire on my house and everything. But I wouldn't want a family to move into this house. If I go out in my pasture, I have 2.5 acres here, and it's anywhere from 1,500 to 2,000 microwatts per meter squared. Now, that's really high radiation with all this. And so I wouldn't want a family with children to move into my house, not with all that. So, you know, it's kind of a, and it's not my fault, and it's not the people's fault that have radiation. It's the people that put in the cell towers. And so then the smart meter, you know, utilities come in and make it worse yet, because they put it on the side of your house. And you know, those meters are made to come in and communicate with your appliances. So the Oklahoma Real Estate Commission, to answer your question, I guess, is not responding now. So that's where it's at.
Yeah, that's a very good way of describing it, the way you're saying. We do have one or two realtors actually on the call today, so maybe they can address the issues also if they wanted to press one and see if they can respond in terms of what we're talking about, the realtors' response to, as everybody else is not wanting to discuss this, even though, is there any kind of legislation that can be put into effect or start to be effective? We have the smart meters and all that, but this is something else. This is the price of somebody's house going down tremendously as a result of this. Is there any way that, I mean, it's kind of a roundabout way of talking about the value of somebody's house being a lot less because of the radiation coming in is like a roundabout way of getting people interested in this. So it's an interesting way of approaching it, I think.
Well, I'll be excited to hear from your real estate folks that are on. The ones I've talked to, I have a real estate lady 2 houses down, and we've stood on my front porch, and she sees it. She sees when the public wakes up to all this, and they may have to force the elected officials to deal with it, that it should be disclosed, and it'll be on disclosures. I mean, it may not be right today, but it will be in the future because of the damage that it's doing.
Yeah. And also, is there like a letter that we can put together about we want full disclosure of the radiation in the area that can be distributed to real estate agents?
Yeah, that would be a good idea. I was trying to think. I was going to look and see how I worded that. And it was... let me see if I can pull it up real quick here for us.
Yeah, so I was just wondering if there is one or two real estate agents on the call. I don't know if you feel comfortable in pressing one on your keypad. You know who you are on the call, if you can address the issue and what would happen with the disclosure of the radiation. I don't know. You know, also, it's a very tricky thing to mention because everybody wants to be quiet about this. And if you are a real estate agent, you don't want to talk about it.
that's not the morally right thing to do. I mean, it's not the homeowner's fault, and they're going to have to, you know, suffer for it because of what the cell tower telecoms people are doing and the utility people are doing, and that's not right. And so eventually we'll get down to the perpetrators, I would imagine. But let me read it to you how I wrote about this. This came out in the Banner newspaper. It was the 98th issue on 3/2/16. And so here's the way I worded it. Should the Oklahoma Real Estate Commission write into their real residential property condition disclosure paper a requirement to reveal the amount of wireless microwave radiation, electro pollution present outside and coming inside the residential property that is for sale?
Beautiful. I think it's beautiful.
Well, thank you. But that's what we need to be orchestrating people to, you know, call their real estate commissions in their state and start getting this actively addressed.
Yeah, and you know something really interesting is that nobody has to really believe that there's a really big problem with the electromagnetic radiation coming into their house. It's a question of money at that point. So it's really mainstream. Hey, you know, I want to know how much my house is going to be worth in 5-10 years if I sell it. So what is this radiation? Who cares about it? But I might as well ask my real estate agent to inquire about it and give me a legal document to say that it's safe and that there's no problem. In other words, there's no cell towers are going to be erected, and they can sign off on that in the next 5 years in my neighborhood because
right. Well,
it will lower the price of my property.
Right. Well, we need to you know, educate the public. See, and again, you know, most there's very few people. I mean, in the whole state of Oklahoma, I think the kind of meter I have, there's only maybe 5. I know there's other people that have different kinds of meters, but most people don't understand any of this, and you know, they really need to be protecting their families, and that's
yes.
fairly easy to do. It's just a matter of, like I was saying in my article, reading what's there. I do when I go to people's homes, the first thing I do you know, and that's how we got a hold of antennasearch.com. That's one of the first things the public wants to do is go to that website and punch in your address and your zip code, and it'll process it, and it'll come up with pictures of how many cell towers are close to your home within a four-mile radius. And then you punch on the communications antennas, and a picture will come up with how many antennas. And I think there was like one of the representatives I know here, he's north of Tulsa University, and I think there was like 215 cell towers and 900 antennas in a four-mile radius of his home. If that gives you some kind of idea how bad it is out there.
Yeah, and that's going to affect people's prices. I mean, you know, forget about the fact that they're all going to get sick and, you know, not be able to live there anymore. But that's something that we still have to educate them on. But real estate prices is something we don't have to educate them on. Actually, that's what capitalism is all about. So if we can address an issue that has to do with capitalism, you know, we can start to undress the issue, so to speak, in an indirect way. So I think it's just another way of approaching this issue.
Well, there's so many facets to what this radiation is doing, but this is one that I think everybody can understand. You know, they're just not aware of it. That's the problem, and they should be. And so I think the Oklahoma Real Estate Commission needs to take responsibility to protect homeowners. Wouldn't they protect them from all these other environmental pollutants out there? I mean, I don't know what – maybe your real estate people could tell us that here today. They might know of some, you know, environmental pollutants that they have to disclose. You know, I don't deal in that arena. But I would think
sorry to interrupt you. I just realized that one of the people who is a real estate broker just put her hand up. So do you mind if I ask her to join us?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Kathy, how are you today? Your hand is up. So
I'm Matt and Eugene here. And I just want to say, you know, about 2 or 3 years ago, I did call the real estate agency in Oregon, and I talked to a young man there for about 20 minutes, and sent him some information. And you know, anyway, we do have a clause now in our 10-page residential sale agreement, and I'll just read you the one sentence. It's on line 156, inspections, environmental health conditions. The following list and identify some, but not all, environmental conditions that may be found in and around all real property that may affect health. So the third thing they mention, you'll see here, is electric and magnetic fields. Asbestos, carbon monoxide, electric and magnetic fields, and then they have formaldehyde, lead. So they put them all in alphabetical order so that radon and leaking underground storage tanks are last. So this is number three in the things that people need to be concerned about. But they didn't do the other thing that I wanted them to do, which is to put in the seller's disclosure statement and educate realtors that smart meters had been the subject to recalls. And so there's at least two different places in our four-page seller's disclosure statement, which is required by state law. There's two places that you can mark if anything has been a class action settlement or a recall. But most realtors don't even know anything about smart meters to even know that they've been in class action settlements or recalls. And then you get into that, you know, devil in the detail problem that so many morphings happen of these smart meters. I mean, just in the last 5 or 6 years that eWeb has started to research this stuff, there's been so many changes in the helmets, as they call them, or in the mechanical part of the thing, that when I have people call up eWeb, they say, well, we can't even tell what kind of meter you have unless we go out there and check, because there's been so many changes in the technology. So that's where realtors can really not be on the hook, because they can say, well, I didn't know, and the technology is always changing. So you see what the problem is for realtors.
Well, you know, Kathy, first of all, I want to thank you for your knowledge. So can I ask, were you instrumental in getting that put in, the disclosures?
Well, it wasn't in the disclosure. I'm saying that there's already a template thing that asks about any recall. You see, this has to do with the class action lawsuits against the LP, Louisiana Pacific, and five other companies with the fiberboard siding that was creating mold. And even those cedar shingles on a lot of roofs that look like cedar are made of this man-made fiberboard. And they didn't do $1 of research, according to the three-hour lecture by a lawyer that we took about, you know, 10 or 15 years ago. So this is in the late 90s when you know, hundreds of thousands of houses around the country still have this composite siding made of fiber in it. And so a lot of people move to this kind of concrete fiber board that has a better formula. But this is why those things were even put, I think, in the seller's disclosure back then. It had nothing to do with recalls of smart meters or, you know, water smart meters, electrical or gas. And so, but I'm saying, since that clause is in there, realtors would have to be educated that there are class action lawsuits and recalls regarding numerous types of wireless smart meters. And I'm saying there's no movement in the field to educate realtors about that.
Well, wouldn't that fall under, like, say, in Oklahoma, the Oklahoma Real Estate Commission should be doing that, right?
Well, yeah, but, I mean, then you have to have this whole thing about they would go, I mean, just yesterday I went to an important club meeting in Eugene, and I got in conversation with a man who is an MIT-educated engineer, and I started talking about cell phone tower issues. And he said he is so tired of this hysteria in Eugene about cell phone towers. And I said, well, you know, I'm one of the people that's been, you know, 3D involved in this. And I said, could I introduce you to a doctor who's also an MD, ND and MD, and could I introduce you to another MIT-educated engineer who would disagree with you? And he says, well, not if they're subject to the same hysteria. And, you know, and I kept on giving facts to him, and he just would not acknowledge that anything I said had any credibility. Even the 100% of the people whose blood was being morphed by standing 2 minutes, you know, 2 feet from a smart meter, he just wouldn't bat an eyelash about anything. Even when I talked about Dr. Oz and the woman with the 21-year-old woman who had her breast removed, before Christmas 2 years ago, she was there with her mother, and the two spots on the cell phone that were the hot spots were the ones where the cancer tumors showed up in her breast, and I mentioned Dr. Oz. I mean, he just wouldn't want to listen to anything or believe anything but what he already knew.
Well, you're saying is true. You know, we have a state legislator over here that is new to our representatives, and he's an electrical engineer. And there's a long story behind all that has transpired, but, you know, he's a little hostile now to me. And one day I was delivering my newspaper last year, which I try to deliver every week from the 1st of February to the end of May. We were standing there in his office. He says, what you really need to do is see what the power of radiation is. And I said, well, whose standard are we going to use? Are we going to use yours in the FCC, or are we going to use the Bioinitiative Report? And so there's the crux of it right there. You know, whose standard are you using? And, you know, they just, and that's where we get back to the average person doesn't know what even the symptoms are. And once people become educated on the symptoms, they're going, whoa, you know, that's what's happening to me. That's what happened to me. I didn't know what was happening to me until I got to read the symptoms, and I had like 12 of the 20 that were listed. So, no, you're right, but let me just make the comment. You don't have to worry about what kind of meter it is. It's either an analog or digital, and if it's digital, it's still going to cause trouble because all digitals do. That's just their nature.
Well, aren't we also talking about the microwatts that it's giving off in somebody's house or around their house? I mean, the amount of radiation around the house to, you know, to present a potentially present a problem. I mean, even that is like a, can be documented in some way, right? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I think Kathy, we might ask her that too. But you know, if, what we need to have is have people that can come out and give an evaluation in microwatts per meter squared. Not what the FCC is presenting as safe, because you know there's that huge difference between what's happening and the science of all this. But people are being damaged out there. You know, that's what Ron Powell said. He had his was it June 11th, 16-page document where he had 67 biological scientific studies showing damage below the FCC. And so from coming from a precautionary standpoint, we ought to be saying, okay, let's just for precautions, you know, see what the radiation level, and just report them. Say, okay, you know, it's like 10 microwatts out per meter squared out around this house, and inside is maybe, you know, 2 microwatts. But if you're living in a house where it's 2,000 or over microwatts per meter squared, that's not a good place to live.
We're talking also about, it's not a good place to live, but we're also talking about the potential dangers, not, you know, necessarily what everybody's proved and checked off as being what is legal, but what is potential dangers in the future. I don't know if that makes any difference in terms of legality.
See what Kathy, does Kathy have a comment on that?
Well, you know, Sandy, I went over then to this other forum, and this is and almost every state has a forum that's required by the state called the seller's disclosure. And in Oregon, if the seller does not provide this to the buyer can terminate the deal up to the day of closing and get the earnest money back just because they have not received the seller's disclosure statement. So the only exception is if it's an estate sale or a couple of things, but generally, even if a rental house is owned by somebody, they have to fill out this four-page form. So anybody on this call can check with your state to get a copy of what's called the real estate forms that are generally used for the residential sale contract, and then the seller's disclosure statement. And here it says, are there any line 156, are there any materials or products used in the systems and fixtures that are or have been the subject of a recall, class action settlement, or other litigations? If yes, what product? Then are there problems with the product? Is the product covered by a warranty? Has the product been inspected? Have claims been filed for this product for you or by previous owners? Was money received? Were any of the materials or products repaired or replaced? But it is interesting that they use the phrase asbestos and gas, but they leave out the electrical magnetism radiation from the seller's disclosure, although they keep it in the residential sale contract. You see, they added it to the sale contract, but did not add it to this.
Well, let me ask you this question. So if the buyer will ask in to see if there's any asking the seller to disclose the amounts of radiation, do you think they would be required to do that?
Well, you see, in the residential sale agreement where it's saying hire a qualified inspector or consultant, that's where you would hire somebody like we have Joaquin Slawinski in Eugene or Eric Windheim in parts of California. There's various people around the country, someone in Portland, you know, doing these kinds of inspections. But the realtors have never had a discussion about it, from what I know. Now, the other thing, because of the technology we have now, realtors are able to listen to podcasts online. In other words, when we get our credit hours, 30 hours every 2 years, we have a variety of topics we can choose from. And then a lot of the podcasts are, in fact, anybody can listen to the Oregon Association of Realtors podcasts that have been given to the realtors. So if there's some way that we could get the state association to certify a person to be capable of providing a credit hour that could go on the internet and anybody could listen to it around the country. And that, how do you find out who these people are who are certified? I mean, Yakin locally has probably about $5,000 worth of testing equipment, but I know that, you know, he's gone through a big learning curve, and there's only, like, what, 10 biologists certified to do what Eric Windheim in California is certified to do. So how would we be able to say you could hire a qualified person if they didn't have that very expensive degree certificate that Eric Windheim has? You see the problem there? There's not enough people in the country that are qualified to do this even inspection.
Well, yeah, I understand that, but you got to start somewhere.
Right.
Right.
I mean, you know, basically we're starting from scratch. You know, this is like all new for us. This is a whole new area that we're doing. So whatever we, you know, brainstorm together is something that, you know, we'll try to all figure out as we move through this mess of trying to educate people and make these people who new inspectors. Maybe that is a new profession, inspectors
exactly.
for radiation.
Yeah, well, that's another good point, Sandy, because there is an American Society of Home Inspectors, and you can just Google the name and you'll probably find a couple different, you know, ones that do that. But that could be a way to start training those people. But then they would have to have several different kinds of meters and know how to use them. And I know there's a man in Oregon that has the ability to do infrared readings of your house with this infrared equipment. But I've also been told by some realtors that some of the readings he's done have been inaccurate. And so if you're not trained to use the equipment, you could totally screw up a sale and get everybody sued that you were even in the house trying to do this.
Yeah, you're right. You don't want to do that.
Yeah,
it's true.
Realtors
got to start somewhere.
For other things that are problems. I just say, realtors have so many things through the years. We've had the composite siding, growing mushrooms and fungi in people's houses. We've had flooding damage and the mold problems, and we have lead-based paint and radon. I mean, realtors are the last people in the world to try to rely on, to try to lobby to get this done. It's going to have to be people with the health issues contacting their, you know, state legislators and then influencing the real estate agency that way, because, I mean, I would not be able to find another realtor easily who would be able to back me up in this thing. So I would just sort of be a pariah in the wilderness.
So do you think we need to petition, like here in Oklahoma, the Oklahoma Real Estate Commission, have you know, homeowners call in and ask for that?
Yeah, they could. Anybody in any state can call the real estate agency. If we had one nice pack of papers together, which I've mentioned this to Sandy a couple times in the call, people, that if we had some really, you know, good information that was up to date, and you know, and the persons writing the information really need to have credentials. And you know, I really appreciate, you know, Katie Singer, and I bought something like 70 copies of her book, but she doesn't really have a degree. And so if we pass books and literature out to people, I think it should be articles by people that are degreed in the field, because research journalists are not going to be sufficient to convince legislators and real estate agencies and house inspectors that we need to get these things done. You know, Katie Singer is a great writer and a good generalist, but we need to have someone like Deborah Davis or the guy who wrote the cell phone book who worked under this guy Wheeler, before he became a FCC director. You know, we need to have just two or three or four really good articles. So, you know, somebody in the call already has something they could put their hands on. You know, Sandy could put it on the website or a link, and then we could all decide to send that to our state agencies at the same time, and then it would be like a flood of information that they hadn't seen before.
Right. Well,
What about Eric Windheim?
Yeah, he would be an excellent one. If he could conduct a podcast, which he could do from California, he could actually conduct that to realtors all over the country. And the way this works is that, for instance, in Salem, Oregon, our capital, a lot of the podcasts come out of there, And then people around the state sit in their offices, either if they have a big real estate company, they can have the realtor sit in their own office, or they can come to the Eugene Association of Realtors local branch, and then we can listen to that, and then it goes on to the podcast on the state website that anybody in the world can listen to without a password. You see, that would be great if we could get Eric, for instance, to do it either in California or up in Oregon. But I did talk to someone in California a few days ago because Katie Singer was in town, and I wanted to ask her if there's anything she wanted me to ask Katie. But this woman in California said there really isn't a whole lot happening with smart meters and all that down there that she knows about, and it's a little bit sleepy. So I don't know whether we have that critical mass of people willing to do this lobbying effort or not. But I'm just saying that's what needs to be done. Somebody like Eric Windheim, that does have that biology certification. He has the third level of credential that's extremely time-consuming and laborious to get, and that would probably be the only one that they would even listen to.
So
What about Orem Miller?
Yeah, well, you know him better than I. I just know Eric through a few phone calls over the years. I don't know Orem very well myself.
Well, I guess... That's our homework, right?
Yeah, that's the homework, is to see if somebody like Eric Windheim would be interested in doing that. And I think he has his feet wet now in the field enough, and he has enough equipment. And then we'd have to find out which level of consulting that the real estate agency or the house inspector association would be comfortable with to even start advising people to hire these people to come out, because most of them charge at least $150 just to walk in the door, and that's not a huge amount of money, but I'm just saying there's so many different levels of expertise. It's just like if you take somebody who's trained in engineering, there's like seven different kinds of engineering, and you got to get the right consultant. And I just don't know how we could homogenize, is what I'm looking for, the abilities of people to determine this stuff. Now, I just discovered recently from a young couple with a baby live out in the country, and they felt they were getting sick because of a digital meter put on their buildings. And I said, well, I don't think the ones they put in the country are actually transmitting. Well, they found out from the utility that it was transmitting, like, I think twice a minute. And I thought, well, I didn't realize that these rural ones, I thought it was just the radio mesh net that they put in cities could do that. So they did, I think, get a different kind of meter put on, but I don't think it was an analog one. I have to follow up on that, but that just was about 8 weeks ago. They called me and asked me what I knew about that utility meters, and I said, I don't know anything about any utilities meters because they're always changing technology, and even if I learned something, I couldn't tell you if it was still true or whether next year they switched part of your mechanism, or they can switch what's called the firmware, which is how the utility reader gets read. And then if you have the radio, if you have the Census USA FlexNet that they put on PGE in Oregon, they put about 700,000 of those on in the two major utilities in the state up there, then that is the kind that you can make it signal. It's a point-to-point system where it talks when only spoken to, that those kind of systems can be programmed, and that's the kind that Eugene Water Electric Board is considering using. And thanks to Dr. Dart, the signaling would not be that much. But it's just there's so many different kinds of these systems. I mean, I spent 4.5 years talking to
people. But, Kathy, they're all digital. There's nothing digital that's good.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sure you're probably right about that, but I don't have enough technical ability to tell people that one digital is worse than another. And Dr. Dart here in Eugene, Paul Dart, who's been on the legislature talking and stuff, and he's been on the Internet. Dr. Dart really was willing to, quote-unquote, compromise with accepting the fact that the Census USA FlexNet model, which can be programmed, would not do as much damage to people if it only had a signal twice a month. And the company
said,
yeah.
You're just cutting off their arm instead of their leg then.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm not justifying any of this, and it caused some rifts within our group. One woman completely dropped out of the group because she was so upset that Dr. Dart was, quote-unquote, willing to compromise, but his alternative position was allowing the utility to just put on a meter that would signal nonstop. I mean, remember, 7,000 to 190,000 beacon signals a day was what the California people discovered, the CPUC, when they sued the utilities down there, who said it was intellectual property, this knowledge, and they didn't have to tell them until the CPUC had so much advocacy from the public that they found out it was 7,000 to 190,000 beacon signals a day.
Right. No, but
yeah.
Do you know who Jerry Flynn is?
No, I'm not sure. I mean, I know some of these people, but no, I don't think I know him offhand. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Jerry, you know, Jerry Flynn is a 26-year microwave radiation expert, right? And, I mean, there's people out there, I don't believe utilities have any expertise in microwave radiation. I mean, I don't believe any expertise. And so the people you look to about this radiation should be these experts, in my opinion. And so, you know, the experts are telling us there's Jerry Flynn. You know, he's got 26 years microwave radiation warfare experience. He's retired. You know, he's got all sorts of documents out there. And then there's another gentleman named Dr. Barry Trowler. He's got two degrees in this area in physiology. And so let me just read what the military experts are saying. And this is what I'm just trying to get across here. Radiation's radiation. I don't know of any of it that's good. All right. So he's got Dr. Jerry Flynn. He had a 16-page a document, and it was called, just a minute, at the very front of it, it was called Stop the Lies, Stop the Corruption, Stop the 50 Years of Cover-Up. Radiation belongs in weapons, not in consumer products and smart meters. So that's telling you right there that they shouldn't be being used. So in his conclusion, about halfway through it, if I may read, it says, militaries have known for more than 50 years the lethality of each and every frequency within the entire RF spectrum, that today's frequencies on which wireless consumer products and smart meters are authorized to emit their low-level pulsed non-thermal RF radiation are, and he's got the word the, which is capitalized and bolded, the most harmful frequencies known to man. That pulsed non-thermal radiation can inflict more harm on people, the human brain, central nervous system, and immune system than can continuous wave radiation, the kind emitted by microwave ovens. Humans can selectively be inflicted with any of a host of diseases, illnesses, and harmful effects, even killed by pulsed non-thermal radiation of certain precise frequencies. So if you look at the experts and you listen to the experts and you start looking at the military documents, like there's a 1971-72 Navy military document that has 2,300 studies on this type of radiation, and there's 5 pages of health symptoms. So, you know, it's like here in Oklahoma, we're in this debate right now. One of the corporation commissioners, Dana Murphy, before PSO, who is the last major probably utility large to install the 500,000, 520,000 meters, she said, we're not going to grant this to you unless you grant an opt-out. Well, so we're in this phase now of granting an opt-out, and now Oklahoma Gas and Electric, which has deployed 800,000 meters starting back in 2010. This whole thing of opt-out, I mean, I'm sorry, but what good is that going to do people? Yes, it's better not to have it on your house 10 feet from your bed, yes, but I had to pay $1,100 to get it 92 feet off of my property, okay? And so this radiation is inundating us. I mean, it's a sea of radiation, the smart meters, the cell towers. I've got a YouTube up that you can watch. I drove down through Tulsa from North Sheridan to South Sheridan, and we identify the intersections, and when you're pushing over 2,000 microwatts, I mean, please. So are you kidding?
That's really large amount of radiation hitting all of us, and it's really, really dangerous. So we do have one or two questions up here. I just wanted to continue the conversation, Joe, but I wanted to include Leah, whose hand was up first, into this too. Hi, Leah, you're unmuted. Did you have anything to add to what we're talking about?
Just a little bit. I mean, I do. I'm hearing both Joe and Kathy talk about, you know, the differences in smart meters, and I kind of do understand where Kathy's coming from as far as there are differences, because some only emit, like the smart meters in my neighborhood only go off 4 or 5 times a day. For the electric meters, but the gas meters are on 24/7 at a low level because they have to be available for the trucks to drive by and read them. So all of this, we only read them once a month, is actually more dangerous because, in my mind, because they are on 24/7 on people's homes. I don't have a gas meter, but they are. And I don't pick up my neighbor's gas meter. So in that sense, I think it does make a difference, because those low-level gas meters, the ones that emit 24/7 but don't go very far because they only have to go to the truck that's driving by, those are a lot less dangerous for the people that don't have them on their houses. So, you know, I feel like I understand where Kathy's coming from on this. I also understand where Joe's coming from, because, yes, we shouldn't have any of them. But at the same time, I think we have to go into these conversations understanding that there are differences in the smart meters, and some probably are worse than others. And I'm going to yield on that. That's all I wanted to say on the subject.
Okay, tell me your name.
Leah.
Leah, listen, thank you very much. Did you listen to James Clapper? He's a intelligence director for 16 spy agencies, about this last 3 or 4 weeks, what he said about all this?
No, I have not.
Okay. Let me just say, this is microwave radiation. These are smart meters. What are smart meters supposed to do? Clapper's telling you. The nation's top intelligence officer admitted Tuesday that the government may be using information transmitted to the Internet from your washer machine, your thermostat, your television, your refrigerator, or your favorite video games against you. Do you understand these meters, no matter how many times they transmit, are made to come into your home? That's why these are, on my newspaper articles, I call them spy smart meters. I've been trying to tell people for 3 years about this, and here comes Clapper throwing the utilities under the bus now.
Yeah.
And so,
I do understand that, and like I said, I understand where you're coming from as well, but I think if we're going to have these conversations with people that are outside of our level of understanding, that we have to accept that there are different types of smart meters, and that some of them, especially in the minds of the people running the smart meters, some are less harmful in their minds. And so if we understand the differences between them, then we can have a better conversation with them. So that's kind of what I'm saying. In other words, if we go in and we go, you know, like when these guys were coming through doing the smart meters, the gas meters in my neighborhood, I went out and talked to them, and he kind of said, well, they only go off once a month. Okay, so I didn't have enough information at that time several months ago to be able to say to him, yeah, but they only go off once a month, but that means they have to transmit 24/7 in order for them to be picked up by the trucks. So we do have to, my point that I'm trying to make is it's not an either or, it's an and both, because I think what needs to happen is we have to have an understanding of how these different smart meters work in order to have the conversation with the people that are pushing back against us.
No, that's
so that's
fine.
That's really the point I'm trying to make.
Okay. No, and I agree. It's nice to know what they're doing. It's like I live on 2.5 acres. I took my meter for a walk one evening, and I was walking out of the driveway, and I got transmitted. And I went, excuse me. And I looked around, and there was my gas meter that had been there since 2010. Okay. And so you go to the Corporation Commission here in Oklahoma. They tell you the meters are only transmitting when a truck drives by. All right. I'm sorry. If you, this particular meter that Oklahoma Natural Gas is using, it's got a curved top. On the left-hand side, second line of lettering, it says FCC. Those meters are transmitting up to 250,000 microwatts every 15 seconds, and the meter reader guy who pulled up in my driveway can read them 2 miles away from the meter. They're transmitting every 15 seconds. Now, I'm not saying yours aren't. I'm just saying what I found out. But even the Oklahoma Corporation Commission didn't know that. I've got the meter to read. You almost have to have a meter to see who's telling the truth. It's just like we had a hearing 3 years ago with Oklahoma Gas and Electric where they brought some electrical engineer guy up. He spoke, and he said, well, they only go out 6 or 8 times a day. And I came up behind him, and I said, excuse me. He doesn't know what he's talking about. I've got the meter. There's micropulsars. They're going off all the time, just like the other lady said. I think it was Kathy. They're going off, in court of law, 14,000 to 190,000 times a day. But unless you have the meter to read what's really happening, you really don't know, right?
Well, right, but that's what I'm saying. You have to have the meter, but you also have to have the acknowledgement that the smart meters are different. In other words, we are not disagreeing with each other. We're not disagreeing with each other. But all I'm saying is that we have to have that information in order to have that conversation.
Right, because like it's just like the gas meters. I was giving public comment before an administrative law judge in this lady's case with OG&E, I mean Oklahoma Natural Gas. And I said, Judge, this radiation doesn't go under the house. It doesn't go over the house. It goes through the house. That's why they can read them 2 miles away.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. No, there's different meters. I understand that. But when you get done with the day, to me, it doesn't make how many different meters there are or what they do. It's microwave radiation. And microwave radiation is causing biological damage.
So how do we have the conversation with the people that are pushing back saying, no, this meter is safer than other meters? To me, to come in and say all meters are the same was going to put up the wall where they're not going to hear it, whereas what you just explained to me with regard to, no, they're going off X number of times a day and they have to be going off almost 24/7 because of this, if you actually come in and give those details rather than saying all meters are exactly the same because they all give out radiation, I think that's the place where the wall is going to go up with these people. Whereas if you come in with a knowledge of the different types of meters and say, no, this meter does this, and this is why it's still dangerous, and this meter does this, and this is why it's still dangerous. So I think it's just a matter of how we're phrasing it, and that's the only point I wanted to make.
Well, thank you. No, I appreciate that, and I'm not trying to be hard to get along with, but the words you just used, you said when you first started just now, you said they're safe. I don't know of any utility that has come out and said that they have no studies to show they're safe. Like PSA.
No, I didn't say they were safe. I didn't say they were safe. I'm saying from the perspective of the people that are pushing back against us, they're going to come in saying this meter is safer than this meter because it only goes off 2 or 3 times a day. But if we understand the differences between the meters, so I think we're agreeing with each other, Joe. I don't think we're in disagreement. I think we're agreeing with each other. But all I'm trying to say is that we have to have the knowledge of the different types of smart meters in order to address the pushback that we're going to get when people say, no, they're not all the same. We can't say they're all the same. That's all I'm saying. So we do agree.
Right. Yeah, okay. Well, I agree. I mean, we're getting ready to go to cellular communications. They're going to get rid of the digital, and we're going to go to cellular now. But we need to know that. Yes, you're right. I agree. Right.
Okay.
And I have to just want to ask, I want to ask you to, I would like to include one or two other people who have their hands up in this discussion to add to it. So Paul Harding, your hand is up. You're unmuted. Did you have something to add to this?
Yes. There's another component that's happening with these meters, and it really isn't being talked about, and that is the power quality. So everything that is coming into your house as far as the electric field should be at 60 hertz. That's what your appliances are tuned to. That's what, you know, everything in your house is tuned to is 60 hertz. So what these smart meters do is they add high frequency to that field. And we can use published studies that are already out there, some that have senior guys from the IEEE showing nerve blockage when these frequencies are present. And these are up over 2 kilohertz. Dave Stetzer has done, you know, quite a bit of research in this field, but he hasn't really given us the studies that, you know, that he's found over in Russia. But I found quite a few of them in the Journal of Neurophysiology and on my YouTube page, Total EMF Solutions. I'll be adding, in fact, I'm going to go do a video today. I bought a smart meter from the internet and I'm going to show you. Yeah, going to show you up close what's happening when this meter is attached to the wiring. So all digital meters are going to add these high frequencies. And so I've seen people get sick, not from the pulsed microwave that's happening. So the meter is attached to your house, and it isn't pointing inward. It's pointing away to your neighbor, right? So people are buying guards and putting guards on and putting the shielding up behind it. Well, they don't need to do that because your box, your utility box, is acting like a Faraday cage anyway, okay? So that pulse isn't coming back through you. It is, however, riding on that energized wiring. So it is pulsing that electric field that you're in. So if you have a digital meter on your home and you can't get rid of it, because I know certain areas of the country, you know, you can't get rid of these smart meters. I've seen people get better just by turning off the electric field that they're absorbing all day. You don't, you know, in doing that at the breaker, having an electrician install special switches. And anyway, you know, that's my...
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's been my experience. I'm not trying to say contrary to what you're saying, but maybe you could help me with this. When I was at a house one time here, there's a place called Monkey Island in north of Tulsa. It's a resort kind of community, very expensive homes, and I was helping a man evaluate that house. And like Northeastern Electric had a regular smart meter on that house, but all the breakers were turned off, so there was no energy to the wiring because the breakers were turned off. But I was reading the pulses from that, I'm assuming, from the smart meter coming through the house.
Well,
is that coming from the wiring or coming from the meter itself?
Well, coming from the meter itself, if it's facing towards the house. So
no, it was,
you know,
facing
it's not
out.
Going to transmit. It's not going to transmit through the back of the box because it's shielded. That's a metal box, right?
I mean,
it's grounded, so it's acting like a Faraday, or it's acting like a deflector in a way.
Yeah,
but
I guess I'm confused.
If you've got a neighbor that's pointing towards you, you're definitely going to, you know, get some broadcast from that.
Well, yeah.
Paul, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, about your background?
Sure, you bet. I started this journey back in 2011, the beginning of 2011, and I was into technology. I had all the latest and the greatest. Always slept with my cell phone. Anyway, I slept on the other side of the breaker box, or the main panel for where the electricity went into the house. They installed a smart meter on the house. I thought, great, wonderful. I welcomed it with open arms. Didn't think too much about it. Put the pamphlet on the coffee table. That night I woke up at 3:12 a.m. and I was wide awake. I went from 0 to 100 in a split second. It was an odd feeling. I'd never felt that before, and kind of puzzled me throughout the day or whatever, but I went to bed the next night, and the same thing happened at the same time. And, you know, it blew me away. I walked out, and I was thinking, what happened in my life? What did I do? And I'm a pretty boring person, so I don't drink or smoke or do drugs or anything like that. I don't even drink coffee. And I sat and on the couch and saw that they put a smart meter on my house, or the pamphlet was there. So I looked up smart meter sleep problems, and I found all these other people over in California having the same issues. So they had left some links to Magda Havas, bless her heart. She had put some things up there from Zori Glaser in the Zori Glaser archives, and so I found that from reading military papers, being prior military, I saw that these papers were legit, and found that they were, you know, had all these symptoms, and insomnia just kept popping up. And so I called the utility in the morning, it was a Monday morning, and asked them to take the smart meter off the side of my house. And they said, no, that's what you're going to get, you know, this is the new thing, and that's the way it is. And I said, well, it's waking me up, and they kind of laughed at me, and I thought, yeah, it does sound kind of funny. And so I spent the next 11 months doing, you know, a survey throughout my neighborhood, buying equipment, and figuring this out. My brother is an engineer over at Honeywell, and so he helped me a little bit with this, and just spent the rest of my time waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning, getting on the internet, and learning about, you know, what was slowly killing me. So my symptoms went from just waking up in the middle of the night to heart palpitations and tinnitus and hair falling out and gaining weight and grumpy and pale as a ghost and dark circles under my eyes and, you know, sleep deprived. And so I looked for the mechanism for why this was happening. And, you know, once you can explain the mechanism, I think people kind of wake up, you know, like for a doctor and an electrical engineer to be in the same room, you know, you can explain the process and they can kind of see what's happening. But anyway, so I started, sorry for the long story, guys. I was in contact with...
really happy to hear it.
I got in contact with a Warren Woodward up in Sedona. I'm sure you guys all have heard of Warren Woodward. And he had put on, it looked like a retired judge was speaking out about this. And I thought, boy, that's the person I want to show this data to, or, you know, the things that I have found. So I called him up and he said, no, I just, you know, it said honorable and I was an honorable guy. So he checked that box. And so anyway, got to be involved with Sedona in their meetings up there, was able to give my story of why or what was happening down in Phoenix because they hadn't had them yet. So he put me in contact with a activist, a chemtrail activist, and she got me on the radio and got me on some different programs, and I started going out to people's home and for free, and not charging a dime, and finding all these different levels that people were exposed to. And every house that I went to where people were sick, I found a high field, whether it be AC magnetic, AC electric, power quality, you know, dirty electricity, or RF exposure. So after, you know, doing that and burning through every dime I had, Warren had told me, he said, man, you got to reinvent yourself. So I did. And so I started doing it professionally and went out and bought all the coolest equipment, top of the line equipment, studied the RF engineering, the electrical engineering, biology, the whole works, and found that it all came together. So some people will say, well, it's just RF. And I have to disagree because power quality is also in there too. You know, I've seen people with no RF or very low RF, sick as a dog, because they had errors in their wiring. You know, and that's another thing that, you know, going back to the real estate issue, there are homes out there where there are code violations, and they're not being found because the inspectors don't walk around with a milligauss meter. They don't even know what milligauss means. Electricians, the same thing. They have no clue what these meters are about. They don't need to be expensive. They just need to be somewhat accurate. And so anyway, I found that was another large issue. So I started to learn, you know, what electricians do, and became friends with a 40-year electrician. And we went out and started fixing houses and getting results, you know, the first day. So
this is great news. Listen, how do we get in touch with you? Can somebody get in touch with you? Is there an email to contact you if somebody
sure.
needs help?
Yeah.
Where
I
are
have
you
a
located?
Website. I'm located in Arizona. I've traveled, you know, throughout the country or whatever. People are getting hold of me. You know, it's word of mouth type of a thing. But my website is totalemfsolutions.com.
Okay. Sounds familiar. That sounds great. I hope you can join us for further conversations and conferences. We really would like to have you on. Joe, is that okay with you? We can add to the mix. Maybe we can all come up with something here. So sounds great. Not great, but thank you for joining us. And we have a few more questions here or comments. One from Deborah in Texas. How are you, Deborah? Did you have a comment or a question?
Yeah, I wanted to tell everybody listening earlier to the Home Owners Association, what I found out was that I called different states across the country. I live in Texas, and I wanted to find out what the insurance processes were if there was ever a fire, because we had four of them in Arlington, Texas, which is 30 minutes from me west. That happened in 2009 when they did a real short installation to see if people would like these things. And I call them monsters because my traumatic brain injury doctor told me in 2007 this was nothing but radiation. It came in different packages. It would always come in different packages, and it would be upgraded through the years, and that all of us needed to be perfectly afraid of this because it would kill the brain, and the brain is the computer of the body. So it doesn't matter what kind of meter, and what Eric Winheim told me was to get the FCC number off the meter and put it in a search engine on the FCC to find out what it puts out. I found out through my Texas New Mexico Power that they are now installing and reinstalling cellular network meters. And it's going to be designed on a SIM card, and it's going to be across the country. They're getting rid of the digital because the digital shelf life is only 5 years. These things will be shelf life for 10 to 15 years. What I found out with the insurance is that there is nothing in the insurance policies across the Northeast that I called all the states in the Northeast. The last one I got in touch with was Missouri. I did Ohio, Indiana, Pennsylvania, you name it. And, of course, I knew Texas. But what they told me was there was nothing within the policy that if a smart meter or advanced meter was the cause of a wiring fire in the house that caused damage to the house or burned it to the ground, there was nothing in the policy that it would allow them to pay out for anything that occurred to the house damage, period.
Okay, that sounds like an interesting comment. Let's go on. I mean, thank you for that information. Let's go on to, let's see.
Karen, did you have a comment? You're unmuted.
Oh, I just was, I don't know that I need to make a comment now. I just realized that the smart meters, they pulse, you know, microwave energy in through your wiring constantly to check and see what's on. So it doesn't matter how often they transmit. It's the fact that they're connected to your wiring and they're making your home a microwave oven. That's all. Just a comment.
Can I add to that?
Right. Go.
Can I add to that?
Sure, sure.
I'm sorry. You're exactly right, but not just through your wiring. When they transmit their data, and they've been doing this in the middle of the night, you know, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock, you know, they varied it all over the place. The elevated, the electric field in the air is actually being elevated, mm-hmm. and it does this for about a minute. So when your utility is saying, oh, well, we only do this once a month or once a day, that's the data that's being exchanged. And so that's, you know, if it doesn't matter if you have a smart meter on your house or not, you know, because I have this, you know, I've seen this problem, and I'm able to log this. I wake up, and I've seen other people wake up at the exact time that they're transferring this data. So if you could, if there's anything that we can get out of this, get them to stop transmitting that data during those precious hours of when our body is trying to repair itself. And, you know, they're doing this because of costs. I found out through our utility that it's cheaper to send that message, it's like a text message at that time of morning, than it is to do it during the day. So, anyway, that's my two cents.
And Joe, do you think that there's another motive here for them doing it at that hour to wake us up, Joe? Do you think
another? I don't know about that. But can I just comment, Paul? Mm-hmm. My number 918-274-8111. There's three ones. So when you get time, give me a holler because I'd really like to talk to you.
Sure, you bet.
Okay.
Sandy?
I think we can all work together on this issue. Yes, Deborah?
The reason that they do the data at 3 o'clock in the morning is to interrupt the REM sleep of the brain that detoxifies the body. And I got that from my traumatic brain injury doctor. She was quite interesting for me to have. And if they can interrupt the REM sleep, your body doesn't allow it to detoxify itself for the next day, and your immune system is ravaged, and everything in your body becomes toxic. If you do this over a period of time, some people cannot resist, and they're the ones that get the cancer, or they get blockage, or they get anything that can happen that the brain cannot stop. And this is what they want. And if you really want to know the real reason, all of this is being done. I sent an email to a woman in Washington State about the Senate is coming out with a new process to give money to the grid and upgrade the grid, like I told Joe on the phone last night, what I found out from TNMP, my TDU. And this is unbelievable, but they're going to use our money, our taxpayer money, to do this. There are class actions going on in Michigan now about the utility and what they're doing, and we have the big one out in California with PV and the PG&E people out there. I just think that we need to go at this on a legal basis, that whether or not they know it, they are culpable in creating a forced installation of something that they've never given us permission to do that to our homes and businesses. And it's like I told the kid that called me from TNMP when he said, when I said to him, you don't have the right to have a smart meter 25 yards from me to assault me in my home. And he said, I beg to differ to you that it's an assault. And I said, well, look up the word in the dictionary and you'll find out it can be just about anything. But I'm planning, I have a lawyer that I'm going to see tomorrow, and we are planning to go against the TDU.
If anybody wants to look up and to see what's happening with our state, with Arizona, just look at the CDC for flu, and you'll see Arizona is number one. So our immune systems are being affected here. You know, we come from a state where it's sunny, it's beautiful, you know, there's no problems, you know, it's gorgeous, right? We shouldn't be having all these flu problems. Then if you look over at the Arizona Department of Health Services, I've done the graph, but you can do it yourself, and look at the death rate. It's climbing, it's climbed ever since 2011, and the birth rate has gone down where it was constantly going up. So we've got the birth rate going down, the death rate going up, and we've got a horrible problem with flu.
It's the Agenda 21 from the UN, started in 1962.
And our state, you know, Arizona, it's so dry, you know, it's not a wet place. So these transmissions are able to go through the air quite easily here, compared to, you know, other places like, you know, maybe Hawaii or, you know, just up, you know, where there's leafy plants, you know, so the trees here, and especially the saguaros are dying in the city. They're not, you know, on the countryside. They're not out in the desert. They're fine. But if you go to Tucson and Phoenix, the saguaros are dying. They're filled with water. So they're absorbing this, you know, 24/7. Yeah. The oleanders are also dying, and it's interesting to see how they're dying. It's not just the whole bush. It's like in sections, almost where these rays are being transmitted. So there's like a couple of feet, and then the bush will be dead, and then a couple of feet it's alive and healthy, fully alive and healthy, and then a couple of feet it's dead. And then you see them next to cell towers that are planted in saguaros, and you can see where the bush is dying right next to the tower, and it just gets healthier and healthier and healthier as it gets farther and farther away. There are a couple of YouTube videos up there showing saguaros and smart grid or whatever. You can search that. I've done those, and I've gone back to them. And the proof is there. The proof is in the pudding. And I think that data dump time, if you can get that in the minds of these politicians, of they're waking up in the middle of the night because of these data dumps, I think they'll stop it because they're being affected. Otherwise, they're not being affected. They just look right past you. They love their smartphones. You know, they don't want to give those up. But if they know that they're waking up, because everybody is, you know, and, you know, it's hard to sleep through this thing, maybe that will help.
Paul, what I wanted to tell you is they want to interrupt this radiation, my doctor told me, interrupts the brain itself.
Mm-hmm.
Interrupts
right.
It. Stops mm-hmm. it from mm-hmm. detoxifying the body at night during the REM sleep that you have.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing this on purpose. And I do have some documents on that from my doctor.
Hmm. Yeah, that would be definitely interesting to see. If you can send those over, that'd be wonderful. But yeah, your brain is at 4 hertz and below, you know, when it's sleeping, and then all of a sudden it receives a signal, a 900 megahertz signal, which is the half wavelength, is the same size as the skull, right? So it's about 6.5. So it could make the skull a resonant cavity. There's a paper that was published over in Israel talking about that particular frequency that they're using. Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely real, but they just need to be involved. You know, they need to give you a little story about what happened here, how I believe I was able to opt out of the smart meter. I was having breakfast at a place I always go to down there in Central Phoenix, and I was talking with the hostess about waking up at that particular time in the morning. It was like 3 o'clock at the same time. These two women overheard what I was talking about, and they were puzzled because they had just been talking about the same thing, waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning. And so I gave them the whole spiel about what was happening, and she was very interested. This woman was very interested, and she said, "Well, wait till David hears about this." And I thought, oh, who's David? You know. And,
yeah.
And as she was leaving, she said, "Oh, David is the president of the local utility here. I won't say his name." And so I was speaking with a family member of the president of the utility. 2 weeks later, I was able to opt out. In fact, I just found out about 3 weeks ago from a great client of mine. Her husband's, they did the whole house. They painted the whole house with Y-Shield, the front of it, and did everything. And they're getting results. And her brother-in-law, or not her brother-in-law, her son-in-law, plays golf with this president. And he mentioned to him on the golf course the other day that he didn't have a smart meter on this house. So, it's like here we've got the president of the utility without a smart meter. So.
Well, anyway. He must be smart.
well, yeah. I think that waking up in the middle of the night really went to home, because they're people just like us, right? And so they can control those things.
Well, Detroit Edison on their building has a huge bank of, guess what, analog meters.
Yeah.
And see, I'm retired law enforcement, and I look at the criminal attitudes of the intent.
Yeah.
That's what.
It's called willful negligence, I believe.
Well, actually, what I put it to Paul is malice with a forethought, because they knew what these meters did before they installed, and they put them on any way that causes injury and or death.
Mm-hmm.
That's
criminal. and we have to go this way because of the smart grid. I mean, it's rolled out. That's just the way life is. I guess there's a bill being passed right now through Senate.
Can I ask you because I just sent all of that to the lady in Washington State. Paul, can you ask Sandy so that she can send you my email and phone number, and I will send you what I just got for about the Senate and what they're doing.
Okay, great. That would be great. And also, Paul, can you explain to me, to us all, what you just mentioned about this new legislation?
I saw it come up on the California EMF list. Are you the same Sandy from the California EMF list?
No, but I'm Deborah from the EMF Solutions Group.
Oh, okay. All right. So
are you part of that group, Paul?
I posted, I post information on there. We've got some comics going. I've got an artist doing some comics.
I'm good friends with Eric Winheim and John Black.
Yeah. Eric and I talk often.
Okay. And I'm Sandy from the Occupy Movement. I'm the one who's supposedly the host on this. So can we talk about a little bit about what you mentioned about that new legislation?
There is a new legislation. It started out of Alaska. I'm a woman up there in Alaska. I'm not sitting in front of the computer right now. I can email that to you. But it was something to do with upgrading the grid, or almost making it, almost mandatory to have not a smart meter, because they won't mention smart meter. They hate the word smart meter, because if anybody Googles that word, they find all of us out there. And everybody else, outing it. So they talk about advanced communications or advanced, it's all about the smart, or it's all about the grid, the advanced grid. And they're trying to sneak something through.
It's in the U.S. Senate, and it's a bill in the U.S. Senate. And
yes.
I'll pull it up here. Let's see here.
And meanwhile, Paul, my email address is Sandy, SandyOWS at AOL.com.
Okay.
And meanwhile,
and
we'll get it. I'm sorry?
And I'm at Paul at Total EMS Solutions.
Okay.
I'll send you some documents that I have, too.
Yeah. Yeah, those that needs to be stopped. You know, that needs to be, or you know, well, the politicians need to understand what they're voting on.
Oh, it's
yeah. I also wanted to add one or two people to the conversation who've had their hands up for quite a while, so we can continue the conversation. We have to stop somewhere in the next 10, 15 minutes. But Lynn in Maryland, your hand is up. Did you have something to add? You're unmuted.
Yes, Sandy, thank you. Okay, I got a list here. I can also give the telephone number out for the switchboard for the U.S. Senate, and also if it has anything to do with the House of Representatives. You don't even need to know your name. If it was the senator in Alaska, it's probably Mikulski, I think her name is. The thing about the pulsing with the smart meter is that it is also communicating with all of your appliances. So, or, you know, whatever ones it is communicating with, but your thermostat, refrigerator. Remember, anything that had, that you bought previously that had an Energy Star sticker on it, that actually is a smart appliance that has an RFID chip in it already. They passed legislation to actually change the Energy Star appliances to smart, I think 2 or 3 years ago. A couple other things real quick. Last Thursday, I think that was the 3rd, I'm not looking at a calendar, there was a hearing with the, I think it was the House Judiciary Committee, and it was about the iPhone of the supposed terrorists and the encryption on their iPhone. Actually, there was a very interesting discussion that went on. I believe it was with the second panel, because they got into a discussion about networks and our personal network and all of the different things and great stuff we have, and it's all communicating with each other, and the problem with encryption, and the fact that they didn't build the infrastructure before they started launching all this crapola. And when, now I listened to most of that hearing, so I heard that great discussion that was in there, and it was during the second panel, I'm pretty sure. The first panel was the FBI director. But what, now I went online last week, and I haven't listened to this, but I read the memo of a meeting, and it was the House Science and Technology, one of their subcommittees, had a meeting last Thursday on wearable devices. So one of the things to remember is that, like, you know, you buy fabrics, I mean, you buy clothes or, you know, tagless undies, T-shirt, whatever. They actually have been embedded with RFID in the material. These devices are everywhere. Now, let me look at my note real quick because I don't want to forget anything. Except that as he talks about Arizona, I just want to go sit by that red rock. They better not mess with that. but wait 1 second. Okay. I told you that. Also, if this stuff... I had a feeling this was going to happen. Remember how I told you that once all the phones went to IP phone service, either backhaul to a cell tower or wireless, that the FCC had ruled that nothing wireless would be tied to your local utility commission? So we don't have recourse at that point with a local utility commission unless there is a rule made, and the FCC does not plan to have any rules for this unless, of course, there is a judgment, which means a hearing before the FCC, and it rules in the favor of the person. And I'm sure Deborah's much better at that. But the thing I was thinking is, okay, folks, there is something really wrong here. And fortunately, I stopped cussing about 45 minutes ago because this doesn't make sense. Are we already so affected by all of this that we accept somebody telling us no on our own personal property that we pay property tax, we own, it is ours? Have we just rolled over and given up all of our rights? It's like this electronic dog collar seems to be working. Okay, I'll give the telephone number for the House of Representatives switchboard. And even if you don't know who your senator is, a switchboard operator can help you. You know your state. So I'll say the number 2 times. U.S. and this is down on Capitol Hill in D.C., the number for the U.S. Senate, switchboard 202-224-3121. U.S. Senate, 202-224-3121. And I'll go ahead and give you the number for the House of Representatives so you'll have that too. The switchboard is 202-225-3121. 202-225-3121. And you can, you know, always call, get the name of the staffer you talk to. It's actually quite effective at times. Amazing what a phone call can do. Thank you, Sandy, very much. Thanks for all the information today. And if Deborah found that, the number of that bill, and also if she has found it, did it already go through the House or did it originate in the Senate?
No, it is still in the Senate, and it is Senate Bill, let's see, what does it say here? Senate Bill 2012. They want to implement a smart meter, smart grid surveillance system over all our cities and communities. They won. It's by Lisa Murkowski from Alaska and Maria Cantwell from Washington State, and they're using the Federal Energy Policy Modernization Act, which aims to help modernize the grid and reauthorize the Land and Water Conservation Fund. The current law states that utilities can make their own voluntary smart grid programs, but this provides for the federal development of smart grid programs. And I've got everything. And Paul, this was sent to me by Eric Wenheim, and I've got your email in it too because he sent it to you and I. And he put it in the Safety Solutions group. But this is going to remove any provisions. This is going to remove any provisions for anyone and for any person, any state, any legislature, anything to oppose this.
Mm-hmm.
This is serious business, people. Fortunately, in the state of Texas, we've got a consumer protection standard. We're on our own grid. They can't do this to us. But they sure as heck can do this to the rest of you people out there. They were trying to take away our grid, but we've got big pockets out here because we have refineries, and they've got deep pockets, so they paid for it, and we won that they can't take away our competitive market grid that is outside of the national grid. Now, I don't want all of you moving to Texas, but you've got to understand what's really happening here, okay? From the very beginning of this grid situation that started in 1995, that they had private meetings with the Department of Energy, which created the FERC department, and they created that so that the utility TDUs could have these private meetings that happened once in 95 and again in 98, that they came together to find out how they were going to pay for their portion of the grid. Was it going to be through their profit margin for the infrastructure, or were they going to pay for all the meters that were going to be installed? So you've got some companies like Oncor that paid for the meters, and they went bankrupt and are now being bought by the Hunt brothers, because I'm watching that on Texas Electric Grid that I get a subscription to, and I'm hoping like heck they do buy Oncor. But you've got to understand that this is a way that they're going to deplete the population of this country. They're going to make it impossible, as Barry Trower said, for any young fetus female being born that has any eggs left to have any procreation in this country and world. And they're doing it to depopulate. What we've got to do is, I've told the people in Michigan, they finally got a good lawyer. They gave me his name. I looked him up. I said, is he okay? And he's been asking questions. They're going to go after it under a criminal intent to defraud and injure the people of the state of Michigan. They've already got an appeals court that said that their MPSC is basically an NGO without legal authority to tell DTE Energy to must put on a certain type of meter on anyone's home or business. They're not legally able to make DTE do that, which means DTE doesn't have the right to do any of it. So they're going after it on criminal fraud charges, and I'm leading them to do that. I've got a lawyer now, and we're going to sue Texas New Mexico Power. And I'm not going to be assaulted in my house. I am just not going to be assaulted in my house. And I don't care what that little snot told me on the phone, but he has never met me before, but I didn't go into what my background is because I didn't want to scare the bejesus out of him. But when they can't take out a SIM card, which I know they can in this cellular network, they're throwing crap in the air about that. And I don't believe anybody that's paid by a utility to tell me what it does and does not do. I already know they're lying. They need to have their jobs. And Joe saw a supervisor with three guys climbing up on a cell tower, and the supervisor told him that they were upgrading all cell towers across this country, and that was just probably about 8 to 10 months ago. And he told Joe that the cell tower workers for all three cell providers, phone providers in the country, had a 70% cancer rate, and that's not getting out.
Yeah, and
okay.
It doesn't matter. That would be workers' comp, no liability.
None.
You can have
okay.
known, repeated negligence, and as an employer, you are not liable.
Well, I mean, if it's not, if they don't want to believe that they're putting their workers in liable ways of injury or death, then they pay a heavy price, and they know that. That's why they're not saying a peep about this. They know how deeply liable they are. That kid on the phone with me said, I said, well, maybe I need to talk with my lawyer about this since you are saying that you are not assaulting me. And he said, do you want my lawyer's name? I said, no, I don't need it because when I go into court, the judge will side with me because of what I have told my doctors. And with my lawyer, I'll sue TNMP for all the tea in China and you'll lose your job. That's when he said to me, well, let me do this for you. Let me get in touch with my IT smart meter guy in our smart meter unit, and let me see if we can do or not do for you. I said, fine. Within 3 days, I got complete relief because I know they can do it from their station.
Okay. We unfortunately, we have to sort of wind down a little bit because we're not allowed to stay on here for more than 2 hours, and we're getting close to a two-hour mark. But this has been an incredible conference. We have one or two people whose hands are still up for a while. I would just like to get them in on their comments or questions. Karen, you're unmuted if you're still on. If you have a comment or question, please.
Oh, no, I waved mine. My question was answered. So thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. And also, Elizabeth, you're unmuted. Did you have a question or a comment?
Yes, I have.
Sorry about that.
I totally understand.
We don't have very much time left, just to let you know.
Okay, so I'll go fast. I've got a list. One of the things that I see, because I consult across the country in Canada, wherever smart meters went in, that's where my consultations went because that's where everybody's sick. It doesn't seem to matter what kind of meter. The biological building inspector said the meters in Southern California were half the power of Northern California, so we shouldn't be getting sick down here. The length of time to the sickness and the number of symptoms that are coming up, there's absolutely no difference. The meters are kind of meaningless as far as what our body's absorbing. The thing that I see, our book is finally here today. We finally got it delivered today. Our book, I spent a year and a half totally delineating it to identify the cancers, identify the dead brain cells, to identify the smart meters. I got a smart meter survey in there, and then I biochemically describe exactly why all these symptoms are happening. I did it deliberately, so it's ironclad, solid. You can get it in front of all the utility people, all the government officials, because they cannot refute it. I even go back and say this evidence was there and how they misinterpreted the data. So I did it so that
we can... What's the name of the book?
It's EMF Freedom, Solutions for the 21st Century Pollution. And we have got to get this in front of people. It's got to be. The appliances, the people who call me, if they bring in these new appliances, they get sick when the appliance comes in the house. So just the appliance itself, what it's putting out, is making people sick. And in the book, every single area of the brain they've examined when they turn on a phone, a cell phone, it shows dead brain cells. It is killing every area of our brain, and I've got the proof in the book too. So as far as Arizona, I used to have Arizona as a sales territory when I was in medical sales, and Arizona used to be great. And the amount of radiation there, I find that all the people who are finding me is where it's very bad. I have so many clients in Phoenix and Glendale and Mesa. Oh, my gosh, those people are so sick. So you're totally right about the problem with Arizona. But it's in every metropolitan area. So because of the high of radiation that's everywhere. Boy, I had so many things that were coming up because this is all true. And for me, the other reason I made the book so ironclad is to educate people to opt out. In all the states that can opt out, if we opt out, if we stand up and say no, in California, they have to allow you to opt out. And the law says that they have to put back in the old safe analog meter. That's what the judge ruled. And so if we will get everybody educated and all opt out, who are they going to sell the power to? I mean, it's up to us to stand up. It really
absolutely.
Is.
And I'm sorry. I mean, we really have to stop. I'm sorry now, and I'm so sorry. Maybe next week we can continue this conversation. Joe, thank you so much for joining us and participating and being my guest.
This is really great. I want to thank you all.
And I really think this is a great conference, really was. And also, I just want to let everybody know next week, Shelley McDonald is going to be on, and I hope Joe is going to be my co-host on this. And so we're really excited to have Shelley McDonald return. We've gotten a few requests on that, and she's more than happy. She's a school teacher in Rhode Island who had the problem, the Wi-Fi in the schools. And just to let everybody know that the Left Forum is coming up in May 20th through the 22nd. We're looking for a few people who can man a table, who are electrically, magnetically less sensitive, who can man the table, who are willing to come in and help us out with that for selling everybody's books and articles and information that... That everybody has about this problem, that we can actually really get it out into the public, Deborah's information and others. So please, if you know of anybody, please email me. And that's what we have for today. And so we hope to see you next week. This has been a great conference, and they all are. So, again, have a good week, everybody, and we'll see you then. Thank you very much for joining us. Bye for now.